Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody. It's always a pleasure to have you here. I never take this for granted, never take for granted that you would just share with me. Take a half an hour of your life and share with me. Let me put something into your ear, your mind, and ultimately your heart that will challenge you and inspire you to love. I'm Randy Dean. Love, love, love talking to you, sharing here. This is the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. I say that week in and week out, and to one more time explain it. I'm convinced that when love is the core, the nuclear core of us, it is who we are, what we do, what we say, what we believe, what we think, then we're operating not out of a need to control or manipulate others. We're operating out of the selflessness, the incredible unselfishness of love, so that I'm not needing to coerce you or make you think something or make you not think something, but for my life to be as healthy as it can be and encouraging you to have a life that's as healthy as it can be. No BS, no bait and switch, no other motivations, just love. So hear me out. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye on this broadcast of the No BS Bishop. I'm here alive to love and to challenge you in this grand adventure, great journey of love. Yeah, I know I'm sounding kind of lofty when I say grand adventure. You may think, oh gosh, this guy's got a cushy life. There are no challenges to his love. No wonder he calls it a grand adventure. Well, I'm gonna just correct you there. I do not live a cushy life. I'm not living in a castle somewhere. I do consider my home and my property and my life with my wife a royal, beautiful opportunity to just enjoy life. But there's nothing insulating about my life. There's nothing that insulates my dear wife Ginger and me from challenges, insults, criticisms, the slings of human error, human miseries. It comes our way just as much as anybody, maybe more in some cases. But we have chosen. It is our one priority, our one choice to live for love alone. Love is not optional equipment. Let me unpack an illustration for you. Okay, just give me this minute. And by the way, pull up a chair. I'm a pastor of almost 50 years. I've done my fair share of counseling, whether it be individual counseling, family counseling, even business counseling, marital counseling, of course. I tell couples before they get married, when we do the pre-marriage counseling, I say, look, we're going to do this because I think it's helpful to you, but let me tell you something about marriage counseling. You're going to need it more after you're married than you need it before you get married, and that's a fact. So pull up a chair, get a cup of coffee, just relax with me. And let me give you a moment, a half an hour of my counseling about love. And today's illustration to help you see what I'm after here is I want to unpack a moment or two with you to help counsel you toward the idea of how love isn't optional equipment. All right, I'm old enough at 60. Hey, I'm about to turn 68. So I'm old enough to remember that when you buy a car, you want to make sure. There was a time in my life, want to make sure that if you're living in a warmer climate, that your car has air conditioning as an option. All right. So I remember air conditioned cars as an option. I remember the first few times as a kid, I had an uncle down in St. Louis, and he had an air conditioned Chrysler Imperial. Ooh-wee, I was impressed. You don't have to roll the windows down in the summertime? He had air conditioning, and that was amazing to me. And he talked about how it was an option that he took right out of the factory. So that option of air conditioning, though, evolved away from an option to now, I guess I don't know if there's a car on the planet that comes out of the factory that doesn't have air conditioning. Maybe somebody can correct me. I don't know. But it's no longer, in my own circle of knowledge, air conditioning isn't an option. So it's now standard equipment, all right? Standard equipment. So now you have standard equipment as air conditioning. But there was a time when it wasn't. I'm comparing that to love. Love is not an option. It's not something, you know, you think, well, today I'm not feeling up to it. I think I'll just choose love as an option. Maybe today the factory settings for me will be lovelessness or impatience, or I'm just too tired to care, or whatever else it may be. I'm going to warn you about that as a pastor to counsel you. If you choose on any given day that love is optional equipment, well, I'm going to warn you. You like a car without air conditioning, you're going to run into some warm weather. You're going to have to roll the windows down to get a little breeze inside the cabin of that car. I'm convinced that love is standard equipment. Even more so, I'll take that a step further. Love is the engine that is running the vehicle of your life. You're going to have a great, pretty car without an engine. It may be the prettiest, most beautiful, most delightfully colored combinations, leather interior. You bet. Oh, my, look at that thing. It's just beautiful. Oh, here's one problem. It doesn't have a motor. If you don't have love in the fullness of you, then you don't have a motor. The motor, the engine, the power, the nuclear core, that energy which propels life forward, that's love. If you've ever wondered what might be wrong with some folks, let's look at it this way, that, you know, we're all in some engagement with people at varying levels, customer service, a checkout line in a store. Maybe we're at an auto mechanic shop, you know, a variety of interactions in life. And we wonder, why are they so unhappy? Maybe they're just raging, and you think, why is this person, every time I encounter them, why are they in such a rage? I want to give you one simple answer as it pertains to people that you engage with routinely. One simple answer that can explain what is missing when you're engaging with somebody who's dysfunctional or at odds with the world, and especially with you if you have a direct interaction with them. It's the lack of love. Now, what are you supposed to do with that person? Aha, here's my counsel for you. If their problem isn't just what we assume is the immediate issue, but maybe the problem really is the core issue of a lack of love, and you're interacting with that dear soul at a level where their misery index is interfering with your love index, let me challenge you that you have one response for a person whose life is missing love. Are you ready? I think you're ahead of me. I hope you're ahead of me. There's one response that's adequate for what's happening there. Love. Love is not optional equipment. It's not the choice you'll make later after you've given them a piece of your mind, after you've met force with force, after you've fought fire with fire. You know what you get with that, don't you? Just a pile of ashes. You know what happens when you've got an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth world? Well, you got a blind and toothless world. You know, rather than choosing love at the end of that cycle, rather than saying, okay, well, we both got over our little moment of anger there, now let's love, I would propose that you start and continue and finish with love as the one choice. Love is the one choice that makes life click. It causes the momentum of your day, of your priorities, to stay on track. So love is not optional equipment. Love is the standard issue for all of our life. There is no other way to function in this world outside of functioning within the full scope of the purposes of love. I've been born for the purposes of love. I've been born to see to it that my love is always in the engagement position. I'm not here to see to it that when I need it, I'll turn love on. No, I'm going to sustain how I live, how I prioritize, how I engage people. I'm going to sustain it with love. Let me give you three choices here about that choice of love. I think there's a system of choices that are made as you get toward the standard equipment of love. Let me give you three choices to make as you get there. First of all, this is based on a quote from St. Gregory of Nyssa. He said, sin happens whenever we refuse to keep growing. Sin happens when we refuse to keep growing. In another way to put it, whenever I'm shooting, if I'm shooting an arrow at a bullseye and I miss the bullseye, and I really do want to be a good archer, well, my goal now is to practice. Because if I'm hitting the bullseye 1 in 10 times, but I want to hit it at least half the time, I'm going to have to practice. I'm going to have to see to it that I'm giving myself the opportunity to grow. So in this first choice toward love, choosing growth, choosing to sustain a growth toward love. I'm never, ever going to be done in my journey of love. I've been saying this the last few weeks here, and that is that I believe that love is God and God is love. And since God is eternal, God is infinite, God has no limitations, I'm also convinced love is the same way. Love is eternal. Love is vast as the universe. It stretches out for infinity. And as that is the case, then I'm going to spend all of my eternity in the exploration and the growth toward love. I will cheat myself along that process if I don't choose growth. Sin happens when we refuse to keep growing. So as I choose growth, choose the process of understanding myself better. I did say earlier that when you see somebody in a growly mood, a crabby mood, and they're, or maybe that's not just a mood, but now it's a lifestyle. When you see that, help yourself understand them by understanding there's a lovelessness there. Now, having said that and reminded you of that, let's flip that coin. Be sure when you see yourself crabby, when you see yourself grouchy, when you see yourself not just in a few days, but a lifestyle of grumpiness, see yourself in need of love. Put yourself in places where love can be restored back to you. Choose the growth of love. Choosing growth, it means that I'm on a journey. I've never arrived in my love capacity. I've not arrived. I'm reaching. I'm reaching, 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 reaching. Let me give you a quick illustration of reaching. I heard years ago a good story of a gentleman who was traveling in Colorado, and he had heard about these springs of water that this gush out of the sides of mountains or bluffs along the roadway, and he had seen them enough, and they looked so clean and cool, and he thought, you know, I'd like to just stop and just see if I could get a handful of that and just splash it on my face. It was a hot day, and he just wanted to experience that cool, clean stream flowing out of the side of a mountain bluff. And so he pulled his car over and went over to where the stream was gushing out. But it was a little further away from the shoulder of the road than what he had thought. So he had to lean a little harder. And he leaned and he leaned. And then finally, you know what happened, right? Gravity took over. And he splatted on some rocks and underneath the spout of that water. Well, he didn't get a handful of water. He got a shower. He commented about how, you know, when you reach for something, eventually gravity takes over. I remember when I heard that story, that so stuck with me about how illustrative of life that is. Everything in life is about leaning. You know, you got to keep leaning. If you don't reach the apple at the midway up the tree, then just keep leaning, tiptoe, get a little something to stand on. Just keep reaching. Or if you're trying to reach for that nice cool stream of water, just keep reaching. And I promise you this, eventually gravity will help you. I love to think of it that way. I'm going to just keep reaching for love. I want a handful at times. At times I just want to get a little splash in my face, you know, at times. But guess what? We need more than a splash. We need more than a touch. We need more than a handful. We need a baptism in love. So choose. That's another illustration of choosing love. Just keep reaching. Gravity will take over. Second of all, as you are choosing to sustain yourself in the standard equipment of love, as you're choosing that, go lightly. Walk, tread lightly in this life with yourself and with others. Forgiveness. Choose to grow. Choose to forgive. Two of the three. Keep choosing to grow. Growth happens, or the sin happens when we refuse to keep growing. That was my first point. But second of all, sin definitely is impeding us when forgiveness is not in the atmosphere around us. As a pastoral counselor, I urge you to live a life of forgiveness, not a choice of forgiveness now and then. Live a life of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a day by day one or two opportunities, but forgiveness is an attitude. It's a lifestyle. It's a preset. You're going to be wronged. Newsflash, spoiler alert: you will be wronged. We all are facing the wrongs of others. We are all, and by the way, I don't know if you noticed or not, we are all wronging somebody else, even unintentionally, perhaps most of all unintentionally. And in order to sustain any kind of life that's worth living, we're going to have to walk in forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Go light on yourself. When you lay your head down on the pillow at night, have a little chat with you and say, you know what, buddy? You know what? You gave it your best. You did all you could do. You did everything you knew to do right. And as you chat with yourself, forgive yourself and say, look, let's let it go. And if we can make something right tomorrow, then let's make that part of our to-do list tomorrow. We're going to make some things right. We're going to apologize. We're going to craft a healthy apology. Forgiveness isn't always just about making sure you forgive others. It's about forgiving yourself. And when you forgive yourself and you recognize you've done wrong, craft a good and healthy, unconditional apology. And it sounds like this. Hi, I yelled at you yesterday. That was wrong. I'm sorry. You don't have to qualify that. You don't have to say, well, you made me mad, or I wouldn't have yelled if you hadn't. No, that's not even an apology. I'm not even going to give that a score of a D. That's an F. Listen, when you apologize, just own it. Own it 100%. Yeah, I know. There's always some percentage of the other person, but just go ahead and own it, own it, own it. You know, there are three choices in forgiveness. Own it, own it, own it, and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Now, again, you're forgiving yourself at that point. You're giving yourself latitude to be the human who can be gloriously flawed. You know, there's something about isn't there something about little idiosyncrasies that are adorable? When you see a dog with one floppy ear and one straight ear, don't you look at that dog and say, oh, that dog is so cute? Maybe some days you need to look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, you're so cute. You one floppy ear and one straight ear. You with that crooked nose of yours. Are you with that attitude? Look at you. You give it your best day by day, and I'm going to forgive you. And as you forgive yourself, you're going to be more able to forgive others. Your debt and income ratio is going to balance out better. You're not going to be in the red as far as your emotional quotient is concerned. As you forgive yourself, you'll be more ready to forgive others. Choosing to grow in love, number one. Choosing, second of all, to forgive. Forgive yourself. And please, for goodness sakes, forgive others. You know, right in the core of the Lord's Prayer is, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. How do you want to be forgiven? Think about that. Don't you want to be forgiven on a clear path toward being released? Of course you do. We all do. So give everyone else that same latitude within you, that you forgive others as you are being forgiven. And then there will be this grander place to stand as a human being. As you forgive yourself, as you forgive others, you are more likely to be a lover than ever before. So number one, choose to grow, because anything where you're not growing is potential sin. Second of all, choose forgiveness as a lifestyle, not just on an individual basis. And oh, by the way, before I forget it again, forgiveness doesn't mean you forget what happened. No, that's not possible. Your human hard drive is not designed to just erase a memory. You'll remember the wrong. But forgiveness means you've chosen forgiveness in an incident long enough, often enough, so that you're not asking for vengeance in that remembering of the incident, in that memory of the incident. When forgiveness is true, you will have washed and washed and washed and washed and washed that incident with forgiveness, so that at some point when you do remember it, you're not demanding some kind of payback. That's when forgiveness has done its great and beautiful work. Third, and not last of all, I mean, and not least of all in this three choices toward living a life that has love as the standard equipment, as the engine under the hood. That's this third choice about getting to that kind of love is that you are giving your priorities to something larger than projects. You're giving your priorities to a larger capacity for life rather than your to-do list. I believe in them. I've got them all over the place. In fact, I'm looking at one right now, right in front of me as I'm recording this. But I know that if my life gets so insulted down into that list, the quality of my life just gets drained. Choosing your life as a life lived for bigger things than projects, but making your life about people. People. People, people, people. I told you at the start of this broadcast, I've had my fair share of interactions with people, and more than my fair share of interactions with disappointed, and grumpy, crouchy, injurious people. I know what that's like. I do. In fact, if you know my story at all, I'm a member of CODA, which is like Al-Anon, and I practice the 12 steps of recovery as much as I know how, because I grew up in a home where there was a drug that just jammed up the gears of our life. As a family of four, and one person in that household was desperately drug addicted, and it was resultant in probably multiple mental health and emotional psychological health issues. Growing up in that, I recognized that as an adult, I became a codependent. And I have to look at my codependency as this disease. It really is. It's not just something that, hey, I wake up in the morning and I think I'm going to live your life and not mine. But I have in my life a system in my life that recognizes that I have to keep Randy healthy so that I can stay connected to people. Choosing people over programs, choosing the human existence over systems and ways of doing things. So, you know, one of the problems I've had as a pastor is that I prioritize people over productivity. I prioritize people over church policies. I've gotten myself in a fair share amount of trouble where I said, no, we're going to treat that person better than they deserve. We're not going to give them what they deserve because we don't want what we deserve. None of us do. We want what's best so that our life can be healthy. So choosing people over programs, choosing people over productivity, choosing people over policies, choosing a person over any other priority that makes me look good, feel good, but choosing people, relationships. So in order to get to that goal of living a life for love alone, you have to make sure that in your to-do list surrenders at any given moment to people, to a person. You know, again, in my pastoral experience of nearly 50 years, I get my to-do list together for any given day. I got to study. I've got to organize some volunteers, or I got to call a board member, or, you know, I've had over the years so many little practical things to do in a given day. And guess what happens? A phone call comes in, or a parishioner drops by, and suddenly my day just gets blown up by somebody else's issue, somebody else's problem, or maybe a death in a family, or maybe an illness. Somebody has fallen ill and they need attention pretty quickly. I have learned through the years that I do not, will not, cannot treat people as an interruption to my life and my day. People are my day. People are my purpose. People are they're the object of my calling. And sometimes I've had to say no to a list, 10 things on a to-do list, and say yes to one thing that was never on the to-do list, which was a surprise in the day. Wow. You know, I know how life can be, just get really, really jammed up. And that's any job. It's not just a pastor's life. I don't mean to sound like, you know, pastors have more than their share of it. No, I understand everybody's life has the kind of interruptions that we really couldn't begin to plan for when we got up in the morning. So why I say to you that love has to be standard equipment and not optional, I say that because if you want to love your life, you have to reverse some of those Western American productivity ideals. Productivity has its place, but oh, listen to me. If productivity is your highest priority, your life is devolving. It's diminishing down to things and paperwork and shuffling bureaucracies and sustaining priorities that are not human, not just human for the person that would receive it, it's not even human for you. You're being inhumane to others, but worse yet, you're being inhumane to yourself. Well, I appreciate you being here. This is my 30 minutes of pastoral counsel, if you dropped in. I'm Randy Dean, the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. And as I counsel you and as I share with you, as I teach you these practical implications, I'm not here to tell you that I'm an expert at all of this. I'm telling you I'm on a journey to all of this. I'm alive to learn these beautiful values. So every week I practice two things with you. Whether you're driving or sitting in your living room, or maybe you're out for a jog and you're listening to me on your phone or device, I want you to do two things. Well, this one will be easy if you're out jogging. I want you to breathe well. I want you to breathe deep. I want you to breathe with a rhythm that you get really acquainted with through the day. Every week we close by me just talking you through, breathe deep. You know, when you do that, you'll make yourself aware that, oh my goodness, I've been breathing shallow a lot. When that happens, you're getting unhealthy. You're shorting yourself. So do it with me, would you? Take a deep breath. When you do, draw it down to the, imagine your lungs have a basement. Get some air down in the basement. It's getting a little stale down there. Get some fresh air down in the bottom of your lungs, all right? One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it. Get it down in there. And exhale. One more time on the count of three. One, two, three. Breathe in. And exhale. This will make you aware of your breathing patterns. When you're feeling stressed, get in touch with how you're breathing. I promise you, if you're highly stressed, you're breathing shallow. I know this. I know this really well because I can get acquainted with that on a regular occasion in my own life. When I'm stressed, even if I'm not exercising, I'm breathing like a boxer in a ring because I've got my adrenaline run to my body and I'm feeling stressed and I'm not feeling healthy. So do that routinely. You'll get acquainted with good breathing habits. And second of all, this one I love the most, and that is tell somebody you love them. Look them right in the eye. Don't equivocate. Don't hold back. Give it all you got for whoever's right there, even if it's your little pet cat or dog. But I hope there's somebody significant close by, or maybe a neighbor, or just a day-by-day friend, and say, you know what? Look them in the eye and say, I love you. Those words are charmed. Let me tell you, there is magic in those words when you say them. And I know it seems weird, it feels weird, and you should do it appropriately. I get all of that, but don't surround that with barbed wire that it's a no trespassing kind of attitude towards saying it. Say it often, say it intentionally. Well, go out there and do something beautiful today. And the most beautiful thing I can think of for you to do is go out and love. Do something beautiful because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. It's been a pleasure to have a cup of coffee with you and to share my thoughts about being alive to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.